Thank you. I have to start on a personal note, and thank you so much for the program this morning and for the kind words that were said about Irv. I don't know what to add to this except I really want to thank all of you for coming and thank you so very much. Irv felt that this was leading this group, Irv's support group, was one of the most valuable things in his very long social work career. And he got as much out of it, I think, as his clients did, because it was a wonderful feeling for them. What I'm going to talk about this morning are some of the resources that are available. I may mention a few specific resources, but there are more than just the ones that I'm mentioning, and if you call our office, we can tell you about them. I think after getting a diagnosis, one of the most beneficial things for caregivers are support groups. I often tell people who call my office that I think support groups are the world's second best invention, paper plates being the first. But I do really feel that what you can get out of a support group is enormous for two reasons. First of all, only people who have gone through or are going through the same experience that you are can really know what it means and how to help. You feel that you're not totally alone. The second reason is very often other people have tips that, again, have come out of their own experience. So I strongly urge any of you who are caregivers to join a support group. We have started right here in Kew Gordon Hills, and Javi, where are you? Javi Barron is one of the first people who started this. It's not specifically for caregivers of people with dementia, but it is a caregiver group that meets once a month, and if you want information, you can talk to us about this. There are other support groups for people with dementia. I don't have a listing of them right now, but you can certainly... Is there an echo here? You can certainly call my office and we'll be able to give it to you. Support groups, there also are support groups for patients with early dementia, and I think those two are really crucial. Daycare is very important. Daycare, there are two types of daycare programs. We're not talking about people who go to senior centers. Senior centers are people who are still basically healthy.
Is there an echo or is it just, I'm hearing it.
Can't help it? Okay, sorry. There were two kinds of daycare. There's social model daycare and medical model daycare. Social model daycare are groups that meet usually a few hours once a week, specifically for people with dementia. They serve two purposes. Number one, they're wonderful socialization opportunities for people who have dementia. Number two, there's respite care. It provides respite care. And Elizabeth spoke earlier, and I can't tell you, I can't stress this strongly enough, how important it is for caregivers to get respite. The social model daycare is not paid for by Medicare or Medicaid because basically there's no medical care involved. It's a recreational program, but they also do exercises, music. There's usually a meal, probably lunch, that will be provided, and it's a wonderful program. There are a few social model daycares that are kosher. Self-Help's program is sponsored by one of the kosher Meals on Wheels program. So their lunches are kosher. The snack is not. But this can be worked out. Samuel Field Y has a very good social model daycare program, which people really enjoy. They do provide transportation. The daycare program, basically, most of them go on a sliding scale basis, and the rates are from $5 to $40 per session. They would discuss the income and then work out a rate with you. Medical model daycare is for people who need more care. Medical model is paid for by Medicaid if you qualify, and occasionally by Medicare, mostly Medicaid. There are several medical model daycare programs. One of them is by Better Coaster. One is by Dry Harbor Nursing Home. Another one is by Long Island Jewish. It's actually Concord Jewish Geriatric Center, and they're both good programs. There, they will give medication, they will give physical therapy if necessary. Some of them might even help bathing your relative. They really are good programs. Long Island Jewish, Parker Jewish Geriatric Center, also has a drop-off respite program. If you feel that you need some respite and you call them ahead of time, you can actually take it. You have to be registered with them, but then you can bring your family member to their respite program. Another very important resource and really, really important for Alzheimer's patient is the program for seeing that people don't leave the home. What you can do is you can call the Alzheimer's Association and ask them about the program. For about $40, they will send you a bracelet which has your patient's ID on it, your patient's name and phone, and their phone number. If your relative wanders, it's extremely important to have this program. It's called Safe Return, and this is one of the good things, actually, that Leona Helmsley did, because she provided the initial money to start this program, and it has been very successful. I'll give you more information on this if anybody wants more information later. Elizabeth talked about home care. There are several ways of financing home care. You should know that Medicare does not really pay for home care unless there is a need for skilled care. If there is a need for skilled care, then Medicare will pay up to 20 hours a week of home care, but not more than that. Medicaid does pay for home care, and we can talk about that another time, but I just want to let you know that Medicaid, if your relative qualifies for home care, then Medicaid could pay up to 24 hours a day, although most of the time they don't do it that much. They do 8 hours a day fairly easily, as long as there is a need for this home care. If your relative has gotten past this stage where they really cannot be at home any longer, then there's assisted living or adult homes. There are two kinds. There are adult homes, such as Sharon Manor, which was mentioned here. And some of them do have special dementia units. Or there are these new assisted living facilities. There are many private assisted living facilities that have gone up. Some of them are in this area, such as the Atria, which is a kosher facility. I think these facilities generally do a good job. Some of them, however, are very expensive. I think when you have somebody who's going into one of these facilities, it's very necessary to clarify exactly how long they will keep them. When people become a behavior problem, are they going to ask them to leave? And I think this is something that people do have to stress. If you need more, your relative needs more care than assisted living, then it may be time to go into a nursing home. All nursing homes do accept people on Medicaid, and there's no difference in the care if somebody goes in as the person who pays privately, or if somebody goes in who's on Medicaid, nobody except for the social worker and the business office is going to know the difference. I would like to say that I think very often people, as you had indicated, feel that they really absolutely do not want to place their relatives, whether in assisted living or whether in a nursing home. And the feeling is, it's my mother, I have to take care of her. And nobody else can do this. And I think nursing homes in general do have kind of a bad reputation very often. I'd like to say that I think that there are some of the nursing homes that are good and some nursing homes that may not be so good. When relatives visit, the care tends to be better. I do feel it's important to weigh the options, because if caring for your relative becomes such a stress that you can no longer do it and that you're getting sick, then I think the time has come to place your relative. Those basically are the general resources. What I would like to say is that I think it's really, really important, again, to take care of yourself. I also wanted, in closing, just to tell you a small anecdote illustrating how, even with advanced dementia, feeling useful can improve your condition. This is a true story about a woman in a Riverdale nursing home who had advanced Alzheimer's, and the entire day she would sit near the nurse's desk and moan. That was all she did. She wasn't even at the stage where she was able to talk. One day, one of the nurses looked at her chart, at her record, and saw that this woman had been a manicurist. The nurse went over to her, and she put her hand underneath the patient's hand. The patient, who had not responded to anybody for the whole time she was there, automatically started massaging her hand. This part came back to her. After that, everybody in the home, staff, visitors, patients, went over to this woman the entire day, and she spent her day massaging people's hands. She didn't speak again, but she was a totally different person. So I think this is a very important thing. Just touch on the positives in the person's life. Thank you.